Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Castor, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's guest is Luke Holtschneider. Hello, Luke.
Good afternoon.
So Luke is president and CEO of Jefferson City Regional Economic Partnership, or JCREP.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
Okay, so for those who are not familiar, what is JCREP and how did it come about?
Okay, so JCREP is the local economic development organization that was formed in, it came to fruition in 2021.
Okay.
But really the legwork to form JCREP was 2019, 2020 through some leadership within the Jefferson City Area Chamber of Commerce at that time. Mm-hmm. As the local economic development organization, economic development's not a new thing for Jefferson City,
right.
But JCREP is. So previously, prior to JCREP, the function of economic development was performed by some members of the Jefferson City Area Chamber of Commerce. So it was more or less a division of the Jefferson City Area Chamber of Commerce.
Right.
And so I think through some of that leadership at that point in time, this predates me, but the leadership through the chamber at that point in time decided that they wanted to look at other structures and ways that economic development's performed in other communities.
Mm-hmm.
I know that they had looked at other communities within the state of Missouri, just to look at other case study examples. And a decision was made to separate and,
yeah.
and form a new standalone. So we are a not-for-profit 501c6 that is a public-private type of organization. So we work with both Jefferson City as well as Cole County to be their contracted economic development entity. So,
mm-hmm.
we both through partnership with them on an as-need and ongoing basis to support economic development priorities. As well, there's roughly 30 private businesses locally that are investors into the organization. So that was a big emphasis when forming was that public-private engagement and partnership
okay.
in economic development.
Sure, sure. Now, where are you based at?
So we obviously based here in Jefferson City at 630 Bolivar. There's no marking on the building that will,
right.
There's a bigger sign. Hush Blackwell is also located in that building, and that would be a sign that you would be able to recognize. But a really cool property that was formerly the St. Mary's Health Complex, and this was one of the, I believe, the only structure that was kept in the demolition of the former St. Mary's, and it was converted into office space.
Okay. All right. So now when we talk about JCREP, what are we talking about as far as staffing, governance? How's it operate?
You bet. And so I appreciate that we're calling it JCREP because it can get very long to say
yes.
Jefferson City Regional Economic Partnership. But so we are a staff of three.
Okay.
So myself, Missy Bono, who Missy was previously with the Chamber of Commerce prior to moving into JCREP.
Mm-hmm.
And she performed a large piece of the economic development role within the Chamber of Commerce.
Okay.
And we also have Paul Sampson. Paul came on board about a year and a half ago now. Paul is a professional engineer, so he previously was the chief engineer with Central Missouri Professional Services here
mm-hmm.
in Jefferson City. And one of those where, as you start working local development deals, being closely aligned and connected with local engineers that civil engineers that are highly engaged and involved in all physical construction type development,
right.
whether it's infrastructure or building and real estate type development. I've got to work with Paul very closely on a handful of projects and just a great culture fit. I mean, I think first and foremost, there was a great relationship that was able to be formed there. And, I think a great fit for the team to help us in our mission to accomplish in the economic development world.
Yeah.
It's been I'd say kind of unique to us in having that professional engineer on board, but, really when looking at economic development, so much of the success rate of economic development is based on the ability to take an idea or a concept or a prospect.
Right.
You know, that could relate to a new industry or an existing industry that's looking at an opportunity, or if it's a commercial opportunity or whatever it may be, and being able to progress that opportunity and help them identify, is it a plausible, feasible opportunity in this community versus another? Mm. Because many times when, you know, you're engaging with a prospect or just exploring an idea, it's a priority at that point in time with whoever that client or that customer may be. But as time goes, if they're getting progress and traction somewhere else, their focus is going to shift to that, sure, that area. And as well, if it's a priority now, but if it lingers too long, then another priority comes up and this one then gets the backseat. Right. And so we felt that strategically to help us be more successful and the ability to have more wins would be having that ability to advance a project with the skill set that Paul brings to it. So it's been exciting to have that in-house and be able to really be engaged in things that expertise brings to the table.
Yeah.
And ultimately, the quicker you can help them understand if it's something that can or cannot happen. Right. So just as much as you want to rule things in, ruling things out and focusing on areas where you do have more opportunity is critical. Yeah. So it's been a great team. You know, we well balanced and work well together, and you know, it's been a fun ride.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So generally, how would you lay out for folks what the mission of JC Rep is, and then how do you execute it? So, you know, are you out looking, for instance, for potential economic development entities, or do they come to you? I mean, how does it work? And then how does a typical project go together?
I always love it. We smile at typical.
Yeah.
The typical is that nothing's typical. Right. But it really comes in all forms and fashions. You know, for us as a mission and as a new organization, again, economic development not being new, but JC Rep being new. So we had an opportunity to create from the ground up really our mission, our goal, our objectives, mm-hmm. and be very intentional on that. And so, you know, our role is to be a facilitator. So, you know, our purpose and our goal type mission is to be to facilitate economic opportunities for the Jefferson City region. So really as a North Star, where we're going and what we're trying to achieve and understanding what our role in it is really, really key into the facilitation part.
Okay.
So then you look at, okay, from economic opportunities, you know, that can be very broad. And so to begin to start to line out more objectively our areas of focus, it hits into what would be traditionally a lot of economic development entity focuses, but it's in true infrastructure development. So those things that are critical to a community and its vibrancy, mm-hmm. It would be community development. So from a development stage, really three developments: infrastructure development, community development, which in our sense, our involvement on community development is much more in the physical format. So those community facilities and those assets, not as much in the events type of arena on the community development side.
Okay.
And then you get into the business development side, which is the traditional historical focus within an economic developer's role. So that's how do we ensure the success of our existing businesses as well become an attraction for new industry.
Okay.
So we're really focused on those areas. But in general, what our goal and outcomes that we want to achieve through economic development is to grow the wealth within this area of the state. And it's always a hard thing to define in wealth, but we look at it from how do we bring additional wealth in the terms of incomes and value to this community that can continue to support what we have here today, mm-hmm. but also support growth. And so a lot of times when we're looking at on the business development side, we have termed it primary industries. But those industries that aren't dependent upon the local community for their revenues, but that bring revenues into this community by producing products and, you know, in a role that does not depend upon local sales, we'll say. So it's bringing new wealth, new income into the community.
Such as Unilever, Scholastic.
You betcha. You bet. Yeah. A lot of times those are the big results that you want to see, mm-hmm. because then that helps you grow the economic base that can then, you know, go towards your local government, can be mm-hmm. supported through additional a growing tax base, mm-hmm. but also where we all want to see additional retail commercial type of opportunities.
Right.
You can start those, but without increasing the wealth and growing the economic mm-hmm. base, it's taking share from somewhere else.
Yeah.
And so we want to see those happen, but our approach is to focus on growing the wealth of the community. So okay. The business development side is one that people identify with quite a bit. On the community development side, that's where it becomes at times those things that create a stronger community that is attractive for people to want to live in, mm-hmm. but also brings people here maybe on a temporary basis. Because if they're visiting, so from a Convention and Visitors Bureau, so a very close partner, as well as the Chamber of Commerce mm-hmm. and what we do, but you know, they're helping grow the economic base of the community by short-term visitation.
Right.
Because those are dollars that aren't here today, that are here and not based upon our existing local revenues. Mm-hmm. And so that's where, you know, athletic facilities, youth sports is a major sure. type of attraction. Three kids right now, so it's where we yep. spend a lot of time. So yep. I understand it personally as
sure.
well. And you know, that's why, you know, looking at different assets and abilities to bring people in, and as the seat of state government, we have some great opportunities with conference center and mm-hmm. those type of events as well. And on the infrastructure, it can relate to, you know, utility infrastructure, but I also feel like under the infrastructure umbrella, you could put housing as it, you know,
sure.
critical to, you know, your ability to live and operate is, you know, it's an essential piece of a community and a citizen's ability to live within that community. So that's something we're definitely involved with as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. I mean, they're very well tied together.
Yeah.
You can't grow wealth in that one category if the workers don't have a place to live.
Yep.
Right.
It's this ongoing cycle of you can't be so narrow focused or tunnel vision on one thing, because you could have, you know, all the housing in the world, but if you haven't also become a community that people want to live in,
mm-hmm.
or that there's no job opportunities for them if they're here, it's one where you have to have a balanced approach and understand that they all somewhat rely upon each other. The dynamic has changed. Even I've been in economic development in prior to this role within the state of Missouri with the State Department of Economic Development. Mm-hmm. And you know, early in my time there was the focus on economic development was on how do you become a lower cost community which is still an advantage within a community, but that if a business locates or expands somewhere, the people will relocate or move to that area. Mm. And you've seen a shift. Yeah. There's been a change where, you know, the newer generations, there's a lot of where do I want to live? What
right.
type of community? What's the assets within that community that I want to live? And then I will find the opportunities.
Yeah.
And whether that's a virtual type of opportunity that would allow them to work remotely anywhere, or if it's that becomes really the biggest selling piece to a company is access
sure.
to people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Jeff City has a ton of opportunities, which is the exciting part of, you know, we have a good base and diverse base of industry and business.
Mm-hmm.
We have a, you know, a well-supported community in healthcare and education, and there's been major investments in those. One of our biggest challenges, and we have businesses that are looking to grow and have opportunities for growth. One of our biggest challenges is, you know, access to people.
Yeah.
We're not unique in that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's COVID really put a stamp on it for everybody. But how we address those challenges is, you know, something we have to do locally. And one of those biggest impediments that we have to workforce is, you know, there's, I haven't checked the unemployment in the past month or two, but, you know, we're hovering right around 3% here in Cole County. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're near full employment.
Right.
And so it's not that there's a lot of people on the sideline. It's, okay, how do we grow the workforce base? How do we bring more people in? And when there's people that are looking to hire more people and with great job opportunities. And one of the biggest impediments we saw and have been hearing is access to housing.
Yeah.
So that's been a major focus, is how can we help facilitate an increase in housing in this region?
Right. Housing and childcare.
You betcha.
Right.
You bet.
Which is one of the priorities of the state chamber, right?
Yep.
Is to improve childcare access.
Mm-hmm.
That would potentially open up more employment opportunities.
Yep.
So,
right.
So what sort of budgets, you know, to do this work, you got to have money. You know, I'm sure you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what sort of budgets are you working with? I mean, as you mentioned, the city and the county put money in. Mm-hmm. How much money do they put into the work that you do, as yep. well as the private investors?
So we are on a contract basis with both Jefferson City and Cole County. So we just got a contract renewal with Jefferson City, as well with Cole County for calendar year, for their fiscal years, which mm-hmm. are different fiscal years. It's roughly 150,000 contract with Cole County and 185 with Jefferson City. Mm-hmm. And then about half, a little, just under half of our total budget comes from private investors. So, you know, the 300, give or take, a little bit more that we get from public, mm-hmm. About 300 we also get from private industries. It ranges from a couple thousand to 20,000 annual investment into the organization.
Okay. So now when you talk about JC Rep's performance, what are some of the successes you would point to that reflect that's a good investment on the city, the county, and the private investors' part?
You bet. And I'll say economic development, historically, it's always a challenge because there's so much that goes into preparing for opportunities mm-hmm. and working opportunities that then once you get to the point of the actual successes, which are, you never bet 1,000 on
right.
these, but
right.
We're trying to improve those odds every day that we can.
Sure.
And some of the early successes has been our ability to help take these priorities that are discussed, these opportunities that are talked about, and advance them.
Yeah.
So many times in the development world, nothing happens quick and nothing's immediate. But progress, continued progress and advancement. And so some of the early successes I feel we've been able to attribute our involvement with, and I'll say nothing we do is 100% us.
Right.
To us, the word partnership within our organization's name is there very purposely.
Yeah.
That, you know, we partner and bring entities together with common goals and help them advance those in ways that many times result in public and private benefit and growth.
Mm-hmm.
One that was early on in one of those unique projects that came together very quickly was the Capital Area Rail Terminal. So it's a transload facility that's basically done with the construction at this point in time out in the current industrial park area off Algoa,
mm-hmm.
Take 50 heading east at the Militia Drive, and was really an opportunity that, you know, private industry had a growth opportunity and the public had infrastructure and access through their infrastructure to pursue partnerships with federal and state entities to help directly assist in the growth of an existing business, but also open up opportunities for other businesses regionally to access that infrastructure as well. So to me, that was one of those projects where an idea and kind of, I'll say, a early brainstorming session of some local and regional partners that we work with, the Regional Planning Commission, Cole County, the city, and discussing taking an asset and how can we grow that asset that we know that there's opportunity for direct benefit, but also there's the potential for much more benefit to come. Mm-hmm. So you invest knowing that you're going to get kind of immediate use, but it also presents an opportunity for many more to benefit from that asset in the future. So yeah. To see that go from a idea to working with, you know, the railroad system, which is, you know, it's a
challenge.
You said it. You know, it's and to work with, you know, the Economic Development Administration, so the federal government, yeah. on securing a grant, working with our state Missouri Department of Transportation on a grant, working with USDA Rural Development on a grant, and then, you know, helping to defer a lot of that local cost with other partners that see the benefit and value in you know, building out infrastructure that can support more than just one entity at a time.
Yeah.
So that, to me, that was one of those early examples of bringing together the partners, figuring out those common goals, and then just continuing to move the project forward.
So, and with this project, for those who may not be familiar, it's basically like a hub where freight can come in or go out on train. It connects trains and roads, to put it very simply.
Correct.
And quite honestly, it's not too far from the river. So that's a potential growth opportunity as well, where from farmers and their grain mm-hmm. could use that facility to manufacturers here in the community and in the region.
You bet.
Is that a fair statement?
You bet. As mentioned, you know, infrastructure development, obviously a focus of ours, that rail is a unique asset. Mm-hmm. We're not the only ones that have rail, but if you don't have a mainline carrier near and around you, bringing one in is extremely difficult. And having rail available sites is a challenge we have. We don't have a lot of sites that could have direct rail access. And extending our existing Cole County rail spur line to any new one single individual properties is very expensive to do on a per company basis. And so when you look at how can you provide that type of infrastructure asset, which is a unique value add that Central Missouri and Jefferson City has available, how can you provide that to more than just one business at a time with major investment to provide it to each business? Mm-hmm. And the opportunity through that public-private partnership was, you know, a private business that said, we'll give the county the land. And what that allowed is the county to extend their existing spur line to a large tract of land that's county owned, and then the rail is county owned as well, that would allow businesses that don't have direct rail access to their individual sites,
right,
to be able to use a public track system that would allow them, if especially if you don't have the demand to necessitate a site that's, you know, got track access to it, this would allow you to, in smaller quantities and without having to incur the cost of developing it, be able to access that rail service, yeah. which is unique. There's I don't know the direct number of transload type facilities in the state of Missouri, but there's not that many. And you know, taking that rail access and opening it up for businesses throughout the region to have opportunities to utilize is going to be extremely exciting.
Yeah. Okay. So that's one example of things that you have worked on that's mm-hmm. At completion or nearing completion.
Yep.
What are some of the projects you're working on currently that have your fingerprints all over them?
So hopefully it doesn't seem like it's us, you know, putting fingerprints all over them, but one we've been engaged with, and really since I came on board, seems slower to go, but would be the United Capital City Sports Complex along mm-hmm. the Highway 54, former rock quarry site. You know, that was something that as I came into this role, got to know Tom Chapman and Joe Lopez and some of the other folks that are involved in that project. And seemed like a really great opportunity that as we look at how can we grow our base, how can we become a community that has additional value and wealth. Sports tourism and youth sports is definitely a growing area, and being central in the state of Missouri, I think the mayor always says we're inconvenient. We're consistently inconvenient for everybody. So it's, we're center of the state, and I think we have a strong base of good youth sports here. So, it seemed like there was a lot of desire and intent. So we assisted with them on working with the state of Missouri in order to get some contribution tax credits that would support their capital campaign, which is, I believe, nearing the very start of. Project's a complex one. And so from a facilitation standpoint, our goal was to help continue to keep forward progress and movement. But as a UCC, as a non-for-profit, seeking private contributions, public funding through tax credits, and the city and county both have supported it through the use of ARPA funds. You have a private entity that's donating the land. The clock and the timeline's really out of your control at that point. Right. You're dependent upon so many other things, but keeping focus, keeping progress. We've been intimately involved in that one. So very excited for that to break ground here very soon. Just recently, also earlier this week, the final approvals for the tax increment financing in the Community Improvement District were approved by Jefferson City Council, which allows that site to really have the incentive to further develop. So, a sports complex is really, it's an anchor. It brings a lot of people in, but then how do you capture that value? So as I talked about that wealth, and that's where, commercial and retail and those type of opportunities really become new and available to this community based off of those anchor type developments.
Yeah. So if you groundbreaking is by spring, I'm assuming, you think?
I think based on the desire, it would be, late winter. Yeah. If all things kind of fall into place here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of support behind that. A lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. So not to hold you to this, but if you're looking in your crystal ball, when's the first soccer ball
going
to be kicked on those fields?
Timelines and development have, they've been kind of crazy over the past handful of years. Predictability is a challenge. So lead times on some components can, we've really learned, and I think globally have looked at how you build and ensure inventory so that you're not so dependent upon and so impacted by some of those lag times. But, a goal would be within, I would say, probably a 6 to 8 month time frame from breaking ground to having some of the basic core infrastructure in place in order to probably have a better idea. But being that it's not a lot of real estate development, so it's not a lot of structures being built, I think it has the opportunities to go pretty quick.
Okay.
I think their timeline would be probably more aggressive than mine would be. I would be more conservative on when, I'm looking forward to hopefully that breaking ground still later this winter.
Okay. All right. I know one of the other projects that you have been involved with is the conference center and a hotel here at downtown. So talk a little bit about where we're at on it.
Yeah.
What you can share.
Yeah, that, I mean, to me, another one of those anchor type developments where, how can we as a community kind of capture the value of who we are and where we are and what we are. And so, being the capital city is, our most unique asset. We are the one and only within the state of Missouri. Mm-hmm. And, there's just a select amount of us throughout the country. And what we are is a host to many groups and businesses and professional travelers on an ongoing basis. Both during legislative session, you see an influx, but throughout the year, due to many of the association business that bases out of this community. And so what we really looked at was based off of that opportunity for us to be a great host that would both support those that are currently seeking to come here, but maybe due to limited facilities aren't able to host their events here, but also become something that is exciting that isn't even on the radar of certain business groups and traveler type of entities. Mm-hmm. That, you know, to me, that's an opportunity that's been discussed for, I think, closer to 100 years,
sure.
more so than the decades. We're probably closer to the century mark of that opportunity of, it's hard to say capitalizing on being the capital, but using that to not only help us, but help the state as an entity and those associations that are seeking to bring that kind of business into the community. And so, you know, kind of one of those where many things were coming together at a single point in time. We had the city had commissioned a parking study at the Madison Street parking garage. About the time that had come in, and the recommendation and the feedback from council at the time was that, you know, it's past the point of repairs that, you know, based on its lifespan, it needed to come down and there needed to be a new garage built. And really, from a location standpoint, a premier opportunity from a redevelopment standpoint to, you know, if you're going to build a piece of critical infrastructure on site, which is, you know, replacing the parking garage, are there opportunities to add additional economic impact and value based on the redevelopment of that site? And so I think the opportunity really took full force when looking at the site and working with the News Tribune on, you know, having the ability to look at the entire half block from a redevelopment standpoint. And, you know, that opportunity to bring a conference meeting facility and hotel into truly what feels as the downtown really hadn't had that opportunity before. There have been, you know, attempts and projects looked at that were in proximity to the downtown, but where you're feet away from existing retail and commercial operations, it felt like a great opportunity to become a attraction site that would drive a lot of new visitor business, but mm-hmm. something that would also add a lot of value and impact to our small businesses, the retail and commercial entities, both in the downtown and throughout the community. It really a transformational project that, you know, is something that helps grow that base that we've been struggling with for decades to accommodate and we've continued to lose.
Yeah.
So right now, the city has selected Garfield Public Private, so private development firm, public private development firm out of Dallas, Texas, to usher this project through. And the phase that we're in, that we're nearing the completion of, is the pre-development services. And what it's really focused on is doing the homework and due diligence. So it started with a initial market study. There's CBRE Real Estate that looked at this market to understand what kind of facilities could be supported by the demand, both from a conference meeting space as well as hotel. They also brought in SP Plus from a private parking entity to understand the parking model and the parking structure. Mm-hmm. What are the needs? What's the current garage? And again, the garage being really the emphasis behind the whole project is needs to come down, but it's quite honestly, it's the only public parking structure in the downtown area. Right. And so it needs to be replaced, but it's also a challenging structure. And so those two pieces really inform the next phase, which was the conceptual design. Conceptual design is not final design by any imagination. It's not the structural design, so it's not getting into the structure and the footings, the foundation, but it's to understand how do you lay out these types of programs,
right.
The rooms and the parking stalls and the meeting space on that site. How does it fit? How does it flow?
Mm-hmm.
And what that then leads to is a look at, okay, what's the cost of that? So then you're at a high level still of, you know, kind of a square foot cost for these different types of programs on the site. So there's a cost difference between a kitchen or a hallway versus a hotel room or a square foot of conference meeting space. So looking at based off of the how you divide out the facility, kind of a high level, what's that cost look like?
Mm-hmm.
And then you equate with that market study that also has kind of a projection of how the revenues would flow through the facility. You look at all of those things and start to identify, okay, how do you finance and fund a project? And then it becomes this iteration where, in the first conceptual design, you throw every want and need and everything you can think of at it.
Right.
Because you don't know any of the next things yet. And so then as you become more informed, you start to hone into what does the actual project look like?
Yeah.
So you go from a really foggy, distant view to something that has more clarity, but it's not the final project. But so early on, there was more of a thought, I believe, an intent that there would be the ability to roll out a conceptual design and then, a couple months later, a month later, roll out a cost. And then in that doing it in a linear fashion, it can result in major challenges because by the time that design's out there and you've reinformed the cost and the plan of finance, you're changing the design. And so it's an evolving thing that to make sure it was a viable, feasible, type project that we weren't so squinting at what it looked like, that we had more clarity. The goal has been to then just deliver it as a complete package where it would have all of those. And so the developer Garfield Public Private is finalizing that right now. And their intent is to deliver that to the city the end of this month and present it first meeting in February at City Council.
Okay. All right.
We're excited. I mean, it's one of those where you just want to keep the progress and get it moving. It's you also want to have something that you that's each piece is informed by the other. And mm-hmm. so making sure that we understood that, before you put something out there, you want to be able to have an understanding of what the impacts in totality are of
that. Okay.
And another piece we've been working on with that, and we brought in University of Missouri Extension on, is an economic impact study as well. Kind of going into the base of what we do and the role in economic development, a facility like that is great. But what we're trying to create is the activity that happens because of that facility. That's the outcome goal.
Right.
And so it's bringing people in, yes. And those people can perform the businesses, but then they're also shopping. They're buying other products while they're in the community. During the construction, there's a lot of additional workforce that comes during the point of construction as well of a facility like that. So looking at understanding kind of what does the site do as far as a performance of, revenues and expenses, that's one piece. But what's not typically captured in that is what is the economic impact of that?
Right.
So what's the impact of these visitors? You know that they come and they, you have a room night charge.
Right.
But then, based off of the type of traveler, what do they typically do on those days as well? And that's where being in the downtown, being able to park in a garage, check into your room, go to a meeting, and then not having to get back in that car, but being able to just walk to our downtown businesses and walk to the Capitol. Those are things that are exciting and really looking forward to.
Well, and it helps define the value. I know CDB uses those sort of numbers when an athlete comes to town, what from hotel rooms to restaurant stays, what the economic impact is.
Correct.
And that helps determine the value of that experience.
Yep. And, the economists and folks that really get into the depths of the data on these and the economic impact studies can be great at explaining it, but really you're looking at both direct, indirect, and induced impact. So you're looking at what you can anticipate and see as a direct value add to the community, but many times there's indirect benefits that you also have to equate. So it's we look at it on the industrial side as well. When you look at a new manufacturer, an existing one that expands, is you know, there's a direct impact. So it's a capital investment and it's a new payroll, but then there's much more indirect. So there's, you know, electric companies that may have contracts to help them, you know, from a construction standpoint, mm-hmm. That then they have, you know, the business growth, and then maybe it helps support a new employee. It may not be following that dollar, but in general, a growing economy and growing businesses allows existing businesses to grow to support those. So you start to see more indirect impact.
Mm, right.
And then you kind of have the induced is, you know, so then I'm an electrician, I'm, you know, helping wire this, and I now have another income that I'm also then shopping, going to the grocery store, having a bank account. So,
right.
So there's so much beyond just a project itself. When you're looking at the full impacts of economic development, it's understanding the broader impacts when you're looking at, you know, that value and wealth creation from a primary industry or, you know, even these kind of attraction assets.
Yeah. So when do you anticipate this study will be available?
End of this month, end of January.
So when you talk about Jefferson City, what's the biggest challenge and opportunity that we face as a community in terms of economic development?
I'd say one of our, I'll just start with the challenge so we can get, yeah. I'd say one of our biggest challenges is being able to, from a housing standpoint, being able to accommodate people that want to live and grow and stay in this community. Mm-hmm. Housing options is one of our central challenge issue points that, you know, from a more basic standpoint, if we have businesses that are have ability to grow, so their business has opportunities. They want to continue to invest and increase their wealth into the community by hiring more people. Their biggest challenge, and they're able to entice people into the workforce. The challenge is those people finding places to live here. You know, and again, we're not unique in that standpoint as far as challenges with housing, but you know, if you're able to find a house and, you know, avoid a commute, eventually you're going to take a job that's closer to where you live and avoid that commute. So with other communities also having jobs, it's becoming tougher to bring some of that workforce in. So, but I will also say some of the things most excited about is there's a ton of opportunity in this community. Like the excitement and the opportunities we face or that we have in front of us are ours that are ripe and ready for us. You know, yes, there are some challenges we got to work through, but in comparison to what some other communities may be facing, I feel like we're in a great position to grow and to capitalize on these opportunities that we have.
Okay. Well, Luke, thanks for joining us today.
You bet. Happy to be here. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.